Welcome to the Anime That Didn't Make Us, a podcast about anime that we could have been nostalgic for, if not for the curse of geography. And having no guests this week made me realise that we never introduce ourselves, so I'm Brian Smith.
Oh, you're me? Oh. And I'm Anthony Askew. Hello.
And this time, because we've got no guests, there's only two shows to talk about, which are Oh Family and Haunted Junction.
Ooh, a bit Halloween-y.
Oh, a little bit Halloween-y. By name. But, I mean, this won't be coming out. We'll be quite a way past Halloween when this comes out, I think. So, we're really looking for a Guy Fawkes night anime.
Yeah, these aren't the ones.
Of which, I'm trying to think if there are any. I'm sure
there must be something that has that as like an opening, like to set up for a story or something.
There's definitely things referencing, V for Vendetta, cause that's, one of the crappy Netflix shows does from the outset, Hero Mask. But I can't, it's like even Time Bokan, I think that would be the place, Time Bokan 24 would be the place to do Guy Fawkes, but I don't think they did. Having said that, I didn't watch all the second series because they tried to make it educational in the second series.
Oof.
I know. Disgusting. Actually, I should probably talk about that in Brain Melting Anime. Let me quickly stick another slide in here to remind myself.
And how many slides are you on?
Too many already. I mean, it's probably too much content already. I don't need to be adding more stuff. But there you go. Not as many as Niall's got for his mustache panel. That's for sure. Because I was trying to make Brain Matting Anime more like Niall's, Hell in the Cell.
Yeah, yeah.
In that it was going to be longer clips and less talking. But unfortunately I can't stop myself doing research. And it's probably going to be front loaded with a load of talking and then long clips.
I'm just thinking where I could see Guy maybe in Drifters or something. Could he pop up in Drifters?
He could, but that would require the guy to write some more Drifters so they could make some more anime.
Okay then. Well, there's an idea for him, so.
Oh dear. I think we're going to be a long, long time waiting for Drifters.
I was never that in love.
No, you weren't, but I really liked it. It was bang on my street, particularly once it got super into like role-playing game logic. I really enjoyed it as the series went on. But anyway, we're not here to talk about that.
Yeah, that anime has already made you.
It has, yes. Oh. Well, I may have been made before it, but...
I was going to say, I'd be worried if that was your...
Yeah, my...
The defining factor was Drifters from last year, whenever it was. Was it last year?
No, it's like 5 years ago or something now.
No.
Yes.
No.
It's been a long time.
2016.
Okay.
That's longer than I thought.
So. But not as long as I thought.
No. God.
Righty-ho. Yes, Oh Family. So, Family by Teoko Watanabe, who's now probably best known for Kaze Hikaru, which is a series which currently runs, and you can still ongoing, and you can pick up the translated comic from Viz. I think it's into like volume 29 or something when I went and looked at it on Amazon. But way back in 1981, she created Family, and a shoujo manga published in the pages of Besatsu Shoujo Comic, and it ran for 4 years. And in 1986, after the comic had finished, an animated adaptation by Knack Productions aired on TV Tokyo for 26 episodes. The series follows the adventures of the all-American family, the Andersons, whose lives are changed by the arrival of orphan Jonathan Allen and his English sheepdog, old English sheepdog rather, Adam. I think the focus is probably mainly on the middle child, Fee Anderson, based that she's all over the credits and all over the ending credits.
She's a good enough main character, I think.
Yes, and she's kind of the main character in this first episode as well.
Yeah.
So this first episode aired on Monday, the 6th of October, 1986, at 7:30 PM. But what was I watching? We can't ask Anthony.
Oh, I'd be concerned if I was watching anything.
So, on BBC children's programmes that afternoon, I would have got in and I'd been able to watch Pie in the Sky, which I think was like a, it was like aimed at much younger kids than I would have been. I would have been at this point, I would have just been starting secondary school, so I'd have been 11. So Pie Wife decides it's high time that the Universal Pie's bicycle was cured of its squeaky wheels, but the Pie Pilot has other ideas. A pie full of squeaks is ordered, but whoever heard of a squeaky song?
It sounds like weird, like really young kids.
That's yes.
Kids talk.
Yeah, I think they like alternate, did they alternate or change the people playing it? And when you look it up now, obviously it got usurped by the 90s Pie in the Sky program, which is the one people remember with,
Is that that dude?
It is the one with that dude. Richard Griffiths as the, detective slash, pie shop owner. Oh, restaurant.
Yeah, I know him by sight. I don't think maybe would have caught that show.
He's in one of the Naked Guns, but... and he's in, he's the dad in, he's the bad adopted dad or uncle or whatever he is in Harry Potter films.
Oh, Dursley, Thingy Dursley.
Yeah, and he's in, with Nail and I.
Okay.
But yeah, that's not this Pie in the Sky. This one's aimed at a younger audience. Whizbit was next. Paul Daniels' kids show. This episode was called...
Did he do magic on that, presumably? So.
Yeah, but it was, the main character was like this giant anthropomorphic wizard's hat.
Oh, that looks scary.
And there was also like a giant rabbit who was his best mate. Yeah, I mean, it was a little creepy.
Did Paul Daniels voice one of the characters?
He was in it as well, I think.
Ah.
Was he the mayor of the town they lived in? I mean, yeah. I mean, I'm looking at it now, and I'm wondering if, like, the faces were made by the same people who did that creepy Kinder Egg Humpty Dumpty advert.
Maybe before my time, but they are very weird looking.
They are very weird looking. In fact, it's weirder than I remember. I mean, even the rabbit looks creepy.
They don't have happy eyes.
No, they don't.
And that's a key for a kids show, I think. A happy face.
And I feel like there was loads and loads of green screen as well. Then we've got The Mysterious Cities of Gold. Some natural sort of anime. Now this is the one with people, I think, my age, but I think generally like people a little bit younger than me, I really love Mysterious Cities of Gold. I found it quite boring at the time. I've not revisited it, so I don't know whether my impatience was correct.
I think we should watch, maybe not in its entirety, but I think we should watch this for the podcast, you know, because I've never seen it. And everybody goes crazy for it.
They do, and I don't know really why. Because Ulysses 31 was better. And Willy Fogg and D'Artagnan were better.
Is this like is it a bit Indiana Jonesy?
Not really.
Oh, is it not?
No.
Yeah. Because I don't know, the cover of the DVDs make it look like an adventure.
Oh, it is an adventure.
Right, okay.
And it's got a giant robot golden condor in it, but there's kind of not enough of the giant robot golden condor for my taste at the time. Then we got Beat the Teacher, which was like a quiz show for kids. Was it Kids Versus the Teacher? I guess, I think. Presented by Paul Jones, formerly of Manfred Mann.
Paul Jones, where do I know that name from? Not from Manfred. No,
he hosts a bunch of stuff on Radio 2, probably right. For his entire life.
Yeah, that's not who I'm thinking of.
Two contestants, one a school student and one a teacher. There we go.
Do the teachers get gunged or anything like that?
No, it wasn't. We weren't into the gunging era, I don't think, at this point. This is nice, sensible BBC programming for nice, sensible BBC children. This isn't Dave Benson Phillips Anarchy.
See, now that's good TV. Hey, this sounds too serious. For
yeah, but I mean, this is the thing like, that, whatever. What was the Dave Benson Phillips one called? Where you're going to
Get your own back.
Get your own back. So this is what get your own back emerged. This is like,
yeah.
Get your own back's a reaction to this. Then there's News Round. Then there's Blue Peter. Current era was Janet Ellis, Peter Duncan and Mark Curry. Which I guess was my era in terms of, if I thought about it. Then this is pre-Neighbours, so instead of Neighbours at 5:35, it was an episode of The Flintstones.
Now we're talking.
Episode was apparently Big League Freddy.
Must be baseball related.
Season 4, so it was probably rubbish. my parents had strong opinions on The Flintstones.
Positive ones or?
Whenever the alien character showed up, that was their they didn't like anything after that point.
So I can vaguely remember an alien.
The Great Gazoo. Yeah.
Yeah, he shouldn't have been there.
No. And then in the evening, I might have watched Wogan, Life on Earth, and I definitely watched Brushstrokes. The Carl Harmon sitcom written by John, I never know how, is it Esmond and Bob Larby, who always wrote, in retrospect, I now realize as an adult, the most depressing sitcoms, of which Brushstrokes might be the least of theirs, but they did like The Good Life and Ever Decreasing Circles. And of course, the most depressing one, Mulberry, the one about Death's Apprentice ushering in an old lady to her death. Also
I've
played by Carl Albert.
Any of those.
Never heard of The Good Life?
I've heard of The Good... Is that the bald dude?
No, it's Richard Briers and Felicity Kendall and Paul Eddington and...
Has one of them got a tash?
No.
What am I thinking of? Risendamp? Is Risendamp a dude with a bald head?
No.
You know what Risendamp is?
I know what Risendamp is, yes.
Has he got a tash in Risendamp? No. Who's got a bald head and a tash?
You've got your Captain Mannering from Dad's Army. He's got a bald head
no,
and a tash.
No, I would know. I remember, like, it's kind of like that setting of Risendamp. It's like a man and a wife. And, like, they're shouting at each other all the time, and it's a bit, you know, it's... Of its time, the stuff that they said that would not get away with now.
No.
It was British as well. Oh, he lived with his wife. They'd always argue and... British TV show, man and wife. it's really...
So I think of lots of those, but they don't fit the bald head and the moustache. In fact, not sure...
Till Death Do Us Part was...
Oh, yeah, okay, yes. You're thinking, yeah, okay, you're thinking of all those, yes.
Is there a dude with a bald head and a
yes.
tash?
Yes. Alf Garnett is the people? Character.
Alf, yeah, that's the one. Yes. Spot on. Poof. Please, we got there. That would have been driving me up the wall. Anyway, go ahead.
I was going to say, that's even further before your time.
Yeah, I've seen some of that. And I think I watched a bit at uni as well. And we're like, God, I couldn't get away with some of this now. Iffy stuff.
Well, it was one of those satires where, unfortunately, it was not always interpreted as satire by the people it was satirizing. Meanwhile, on BBC Two, at 9 o'clock in the evening, they had Paul Daniel's Magic Show. I don't remember it being A, on BBC Two, and B, being on After the Watershed.
I wonder why.
Yeah, I don't know. My memory isn't going back far enough to remember. And it says it aired on BBC One from 9th of June 79 to, so I guess maybe it was a repeat. Or maybe he was doing like a, yeah, something super dangerous. I don't know. I'm going to guess a repeat. And then that was followed by Naked Video, which I don't know if I've been watching yet. Maybe at 11 I might have watched it. That was the show where Rhapsody Nesbitt emerged from. That's the thing it's most famous for.
Oh, right.
It was a Scottish sketch show.
Yeah. I never got away with Rhapsody Nesbitt.
I liked it more and more and more as it went along.
Because I tried it. I don't even know why I tried watching it. I was like, British comedy, you know. Yeah, maybe it's not for me.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, yeah, Gregor Fisher briefly moved to my hometown. He was a local celebrity for a while. Then the UK number one at this time was Don't Leave Me This Way by the Communards. Do you know that song?
No, I don't. I know who the Communards are, but I don't think I know that one, unless it's the only one that I know, but I just didn't know.
It may be the only one you know.
Let's have a quick.
Is it a cover version?
Take me seconds to listen. 1 second.
It is a cover version, so I've got that right. Originally.
Oh, this is all right. Yeah.
Originally performed by Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes.
Yeah, it's a fine song. I'm sure it's on advert as well.
Yeah, it probably has been. Unfortunately, I think they've now moved on to 90s songs because now the adverts have to appeal to me.
Yeah.
And this first episode, though, is called Anderson Family. And be a theme here of shows full of worked on by people who've done very little else of interest. So, directed by Masamune Ochiai, who has also directed Don Dracula, Momotaro Densetsu, and Shibuya Honky Tonk. Yeah, me too. Screenplay by Shinichi Muro. Who also wrote Rocky Racket and Memoru in the Pointed Hat. Now, Memoru in the Pointed Hat I do know about because I have the first episode and it is in the list of things I could pick for this podcast. However, the subtitles are so bad, I don't want to pick it, which is annoying because the actual animation looks so good. So it may be a case where I might have to go through the subtitles and even if they're not accurately translated, at least bash them into readable English. Cause currently they're just not. Like, names of characters change throughout the subtitles. It's very confusing. Storyboard and the episode director is also Masamune Ochiai, the director, and character designer is Fumio Sasaki, whose only other character design credit was Hoshikuzu Paradise. Again, your guess is as good as mine. voice acting wise, there's a bit more star power there. Wilfred Anderson, the dad, is played by Kei Tomiyama, the voice of Tiger Mask. The wife, and I don't want to call her it's terrible calling her the wife, but that is definitely how she's cast in this because she refers to herself as being a maid at some point. It's very 80s. Sharon Anderson is played by Sanae Takagi, and this is the most notable role she did. Fee Anderson is played by Sumi Shimamoto, the voice of Ginray from Giant Robo. Kay Anderson, the older brother, is played by Shigeru Nakahara, the voice of Android 17. And Tracy Anderson, the little sister, is played by Naoko Matsue, the voice of Sonoko Suzuki, and I think she almost turns up every episode we do of this podcast on one of the shows we pick. And the interlopers into the family, Jonathan Allen, is played by Masako Sugaya, who was the voice of Kenichi in Ninja Hattori, so that's around the same time. And Adam, the dog, is played by Ikuya Sawaki, Ghouli in Dirty Pair. I believe that's their boss.
Ah, they're going to see like a dog or a creature.
No, because he doesn't talk. Yes, we should say Adam does not talk in this, but Ikuya Sawaki does get to make lots and lots of dog noises.
What kind of job I want?
Lots of slurping and licking noises as well. the songs are by, sung by Yushio Hashimoto, who from her own Twitter She is famous for the original Dragon Ball ending, the second Sailor Moon ending, and the Espa Mami opening and ending. She does not mention this show.
Why not?
Well, maybe she's not as proud of it as those other things, or people wouldn't have heard of it. And I'm going to say my opinion going in, but I'll explain what happens in this episode first. Okay, so we're introduced to the Anderson family. Mum, dad gets home, and the pair of mum and dad. it opens with the kids fighting over the TV remote, and we're in Los Angeles. We should say as well. That's how all American.
Does it set them up that they're there at the beginning? Go on.
It sets it up to begin with, but it does get clarified through the episode once the kid shows up. So they're fighting over the TV remote, which allows the show to open with like all these scenes where you think it's something else than what it actually is, which is three blonde children rolling around in the lounge trying to grab hold of the controller. So they're fighting over the controller. Then mum and dad gets in, and mum and dad get the control. They're now in control of the TV, and they got to do the most important thing of the day, which is Happy Time, I believe the TV program's called.
Where, is that real?
I believe it's supposed to be like a Sesame Street program. I believe, from what I was looking at the Wikipedia, this is definitely a recurring plot point. Is the parents
fighting over the telly, or
no? The parents' love of this puppet show,
right?
Which asks them how their day has been, to which they reply, and then just they drag their chairs closer to the TV, so there's no way else for anyone else to see this television show. And I'm trying to remember if there's any other beats before this child shows up. I don't think there is.
I don't think so. Because at this point, you don't even know kind of what characters are like. I suppose they're trying to display what the characters are like by their choices of TV.
I guess, but having this in this non-family member show up allows them to then introduce every single other character. All the characters in, apart from there's one character in the opening who is, not present, in this actual episode.
Do you know who that is?
I do know who that is from the Wikipedia, but I'm getting to that after we finish this episode. So they fight over the TV, they watch the TV, knock on the door, and Fee goes and answers the door, and there's a small child, he turns out to be 5 years old, and his giant old English sheepdog, Adam. And they've come from Pittsburgh because he's come to see his dad. And the family acts super shocked. Fee, the middle daughter, is like, "Dad, what have you been doing?" Meanwhile, the other children are going, "Well, he did go on a business trip 5 years ago." They're just rubbing it in, winding them up.
The youngest one's happy because it means she's now not the youngest sibling.
Yes, and also this is more interesting than television, this family drama that's
going on. Oh yeah, I think it's her that says that as well.
Yes,
the
it is. And then we also get Jonathan going, you must be my big sister. No, I'm a boy. Oh, you must be the older brother. No, I'm a girl, for Fee and Kay. Mm-hmm. And Fee's very upset at her father. Everyone else seems to like take it in their stride except for the father and Fee. And apparently, this child's mother was an ex-girlfriend of Wilfred, who's died, and so he's come here to find his father.
And don't forget, even the wife is saying, people make mistakes.
Yes.
She's so chilled.
Everyone's chill, apart from Fee and the dad. Fee goes into a rage, and dad just refuses to get out of bed. And then Jonathan like proves that he's like big help around the house. He's ingratiating himself into everybody's good books. Meanwhile, Fee's like, something's going on here. I'm going to investigate the will. Oh no, there's a bunch of photos. And there's like a very weird will where he's apparently got to go off. Oh, it's good. Yeah, it's like a bunch of photos and
a list of addresses.
Yeah.
X's next to them.
Yes. So this kid's
got to go and see his uncle in Chicago.
Yeah, he's supposed to go to see his uncle in Chicago, but instead he's going round from house to house, presumably pulling this same trick on them. But then once the dog warns him that Fee's found this out through a bunch of charades, at many points the dog does look like a man inside a dog costume.
It does. Like it holds something at one point, I can't remember where it is, but it's just like a hand.
Yeah.
It's like a human hand holding whatever it is.
So he's like, oh, it's time to move on, like the littlest hobo. And they're like, oh, we can't let him go. We've got to go and find him. A car comes towards him and he falls off an edge of a pathway. And Fee finds him and rescues him out of a hole. Oh, he's fallen in a hole, hasn't he? Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they have a heart to heart. And then, yeah, the truth comes out. She gives him a hug. And then when they get back, the rest of the family, mum and dad have decided they're going to adopt him.
Mm-hmm.
Big shock. But then you see the next episode preview and it just appears to be this child is going to carry on annoying Fee for the rest of the series.
But don't forget, the fact that he's going from house to house is to try and find somebody to look after Adam.
Yes.
Because he went to his uncle and his uncle said he was going to kill the dog.
Well, yeah, I mean, the uncle might be right.
What? It's just a dog. But
I mean, is it a dog?
What do you? This can't be any weird story.
No, there's not. But I'm
it's
just
not his mother in a suit.
You saw the dog behaving the way this dog was behaving.
It's very clever.
It is. Yeah. So that's pretty much it. It is surprisingly competent for a knack production. And I thought it wasn't too bad. It's like, it doesn't go like the most aggressively we're Americans is the fact that everyone apart from the dad have got ridiculous blonde hair.
Yeah.
And they wear Letterman jackets. But yeah, it's not too bad. I was surprised. The opening theme is very 80s with its like every sentence has one English word in it, I think. To establish how cool an American it is. Yeah, it's come all the way from Pittsburgh, hasn't it? That's where you establish this Los Angeles, because they're like, Pittsburgh? Well, that's all the way over the other side of the country. And he's like, well, from where you're in, when you're in Pittsburgh, Los Angeles is all the way on the other side of the country. I guess she does eat like a big old hamburger at one point. That's another big old American.
Americans eat, right?
Yeah, that is right. Because she's complaining she'd only been eating cornflakes, so she has to go and get a burger. Yeah, I mean, they're pleasant enough characters. I don't know where... The reason I picked it is because the fan subs for it have just come out.
Ah.
I'm not sure I necessarily need to watch any more episodes. Maybe to see the setup of the boyfriend character.
Oh, so is that? See, when you said there was additional character, I could not remember from the intro who it could be.
Yeah, that is her boyfriend, but I believe in the story it starts off as her brother's boyfriend.
Ah, okay.
Which it sounds like a super 80s shoujo plot.
Yeah,
twist.
Yeah.
And yeah, the Fee character, she's pretty sympathetic. But
yeah,
nothing
it's
special.
Yeah, it's fine.
But I'm also saying that I'm probably giving it more credit than it deserves because of the next thing we watched.
Would you have watched this more as a kid than you would now?
Or
family, that is.
No, I don't know. But of the two, I mean, I would have been allowed to watch this.
You don't think you would have been allowed to watch Haunted Junction?
No, I don't think so.
Is it that creepy?
It's pretty creepy. I mean, it did also air in the middle of the night. I need to go and highlight everything which aired in the middle of the night in the spreadsheet so you know.
Oh, right. I mean, I remember one creepy thing.
Yeah, there's one creepy thing. But it is a massively creepy thing.
Yeah. But I think I would have watched O Family as a kid. I wouldn't have gone out my way to watch it, but if it had been on between two things, it would have been something I wouldn't mind being on.
Yeah, that's right. Cause I definitely watched things similar to this, when they cropped up in random spots. But this feels like the sort of thing which would be on at 5:30 in the morning, cause an ITV channel had bought a bunch of cartoons and they needed to fill some time in or something.
Yeah. I think I really like the father character as well.
Yeah, I mean, there's also some very of the time reaction shots as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering when the For Better or Worse cartoon was on. Cause that's kind of the thing it reminded me the most of, not particularly, but, animated specials, 85 was the first For Better or Worse animated special. So it's around the same time. It kind of does have that newspaper strip, greetings card aesthetic, which you got in the 80s cartoons a lot.
Mm-mm.
Even in anime, because I've been looking at other stuff which has been getting fan-subbed of late. I was like, oh, I hadn't realized just how greetings card certain things looked. I mean, this isn't as greetings card as Minky Momo is. Minky Momo's super greetings card. But that's a story for somebody older than me to pick, because unfortunately that's... even I can't.
Will we ever
that.
Get anybody older than you?
I don't know. Is it trying,
that's not we... being rude no. or mean, that's just a legit question. Yeah,
try and convince Sash to join us on the podcast. Yeah, but there you go. That's that. The theme tune's probably the highlight, I think. For me.
Yeah, I can't remember the tune, but I was watching thinking, ooh, this might be catchy. It was alright.
Then, 12 years later, Haunted Junction was a comedy manga by Nemu Mukadori, someone who does not have their own Wikipedia page. That ran in the pages of Dengeki Comic Gao for 11 volumes between 96 and 2001. An anime television series based on the comic was made by Studio Deen and Bandai Visual and broadcast on TV Tokyo in 1997. And the story follows three high school students who make up their school's Holy Student Council, where each of them is the descendant of a member of a different denomination's clergy. And it had a US release on VHS in 1999 and DVD in 2000 by Bandai Entertainment.
What?
No one else has picked up the license since then. And it originally aired on Wednesday, the 2nd of April, 1997, at 25:45, so really it aired Thursday.
Quarter to?
At, Thursday morning at 1:45, yes.
Right. Damn.
So yes. So we're already back into another situation where...
I'm not watching this.
You would have not been allowed to watch this.
Even if I had been allowed, I wouldn't have cared if I had to miss it.
But what could you have been watching, but probably weren't? Ooh. Remember, if you want to know what Anthony was actually watching, back at our Patreon at patreon.com/DITB.
So that's the reward to know what I was really watching.
Yes. but if he ever switched over to BBC, this is what he could have watched. Well, let's actually start with BBC Two, because that's when the children's programs start. At 7:30 in the morning. At 7:30 in the morning, you could have watched Secret Life of Toys, which is a Jim Henson puppet show that I have never seen until I watched a YouTube video of it today.
Let's have a think. The toys look familiar.
Yeah, I mean, the toys look familiar as well, but I had not seen it. So I don't know whether they've just been used in other things as...
Maybe, because I feel like I can... In fact, yeah, I've definitely seen this. I'm pretty sure I can envision every character's voice that I'm seeing here. Like the wise old bear, the bit of a tiger character, and writes itself, I'm telling you. Yeah, I've definitely watched this before, 100%.
That was followed by an episode of The Raccoons,
Watch that.
No mention of
well,
which
maybe
one.
Not that day, but I've
yes, exactly. Yeah. Then an episode of the Wacky Races, ditto.
Loved Wacky Races.
Then the Lowdown, the children's documentary series, looks at the selection and training of Wimbledon's ball boys and ball girls.
Boring. It's true. I, like anything like News Round or anything that involved. I wouldn't have sat and watched, especially not at that time of morning. I want a cartoon to watch.
Then you had Activate, featuring flamenco, windsurfing, paddle tennis, and pelota. Pelota?
Pilates?
I don't even know what that is. It is, it's...
Jimmy Thixton?
It's a racket type sport.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah, I don't ever remember watching it. I was trying to picture who I could imagine. So is it like an information thing?
I think it's like a kids sports show.
Oh, so an actual like drama, or is it?
No, I think it's just telling you about sports you could be doing.
Oh, nice.
Then you got Sweet Valley High, the US teenage drama series. I think it was the thing I was mistaking for something else. Yes, that was the thing I thought something else was in a previous episode of this podcast.
Right. Yeah, I wouldn't have watched that.
No, you probably would not. It was about two beautiful blonde twins living in Sweet Valley, California. So very much akin to O Family.
Yeah.
Then we got Funny Bones.
Oh, yes. I must have watched... In fact, is there not only ever one story that they do in Funny Bones?
I don't know. I'm sure there's more. There's probably only like 13 episodes. It's probably one of these shows which has... There's
12 episodes.
12, less than that. Yeah. Yes.
But yeah, I loved Funny Bones. You know, Dark, Dark House in a Dark, Dark Street.
Yes, Griff Rhys-Jones doing the voice.
Really good show. Not that I can differentiate between episodes, apparently. But I had the book as well. I'm sure we did the book at school, which just involves everybody like in unison saying that intro, which is fun. Yeah, I'd have watched this.
Then the Teletubbies.
Yeah, I like the Teletubbies. I've mentioned this before. I used to, even probably when I was too old to be watching it, I used to watch the first half of it, but then they repeat.
Yes.
Like the show, yeah, and I didn't like it when they repeated.
See, that's why you didn't like Pop Team Epic.
Probably. But the end of the episode always finished with like a conclusion to the starting story, which was them maybe, I don't know, baking a cake or something like that, something stupid.
Oh, yes, so, I remember, yes, because they'd have the again, and they'd
yes,
tell
which
the same
is what
thing
I
again.
Hated, and then you'd see the exact same 3-minute, 4-minute clip of kids painting.
Yeah. But no,
real kids doing shit.
Everybody watched Teletubbies, regardless what age, at some point, because people were raving about Teletubbies, and so people were like, what's this Teletubby business about? I'm going to have to check out this Teletubbies.
It's true. It's what else was like that? Because I know
Forest since. Yeah, there's been plenty of things after it, but right, because it's a Ragdoll production, isn't it? So the thing nearest to it before was Pob's program. In the 80s, which also had Toya on it occasionally, so
right.
Very similar. And then an episode of Barber the Elephant.
Oh, I like that. I did like that.
And then,
that's the kind of thing I wish I watched more of. Well, I used to always really enjoy it, but it wasn't always on.
I think it's all on Amazon Prime.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Or it has been at some point.
Yeah, it had like a really relaxing tone about it.
Yeah, Barbar included with your Prime membership, Barbar the movie Prime membership. Barbar,
was
King
that a live action
elephants.
Piece? Or?
No, they're just full.
Barbar, that'd be great.
Season 2, yeah. So if you got Prime, you can fill your socks with Barbar. And then you got the Young Indiana Jones Chronicles after that.
I don't think I ever watched that. I was probably on the way to school. In fact, I wouldn't have been on the way to school because I would have been at school. That's probably why I didn't watch Barbar often, because it was 10:35.
Yeah, I can't quite tell whether this is during school time or whether this is during a half term. Not a half term, an Easter holiday, because I don't know when Easter was in 1997. It might have been an early Easter.
Possibly.
Anyway, it's a double bill. They were showing two episodes of Young Indiana Jones Chronicles.
What a treat.
I think they used to show it like Saturday evenings, I think, at first. And then I don't think anyone was interested, so I think it's just got shoveled off as schedule filler.
Yeah.
I remember
I never bothered with that.
Yeah, I remember being kind of excited at the time and then being let down by the realization of what it was. Then in the afternoon, we got home from school, you can watch Play Days, it's the roundabout stop.
Mm-hmm.
Monster Cafe, no idea.
Yeah, I don't recall that one.
Absolutely. I notice if there's any clues here on the description. Monster Cafe, the monsters hear that the Baroness has escaped from Neptune. Oh, hang on, I think this is beginning to ring a bell now, I see the credits. There's like Frankie, Ego, Mummy, and Baroness. Let's have a look. Oh no, I'm looking at Monster Cafe, I'm just getting Kawaii Monster Cafe Harajuku. She's like a monstrosity of Hello Kittiness. Let's try.
Actually, I have seen this because I remember I've just skipped through it. There's a I don't know what character that is. Describe the characters again. So Mummy,
Igor, Frankie, and Baroness.
It must be Frankie. I remember vividly. She's maybe an early crush, you know. Yeah, I definitely watched this. Definitely.
And now I'm seeing it, I'm thinking, I've definitely not seen this. So I don't know what I was thinking.
Why not? I remember being a lot of fun and just making a mess in this set.
I'm trying to think, April 97, the why not will be because I was probably getting ready to do my final exams in my university course. So.
Oh, boring. you can watch all seven episodes on YouTube.
Oh, good.
It only went on for seven episodes.
Then you had the new Yogi Bear show. Repeat. Popeye and Son. Repeat. I hated Popeye and Son. God, I hate.
Which one was...
That's Come the on, one I mean... where he's got a son. It's like the 80s one. 80s or early 90s one. It's quite along the times when they were either bringing cartoons back as babies or bringing them back with children.
Yeah, both bad. Babies more, I don't know, maybe babies are better, but yeah. Yeah, I never watched this. Son looks super annoying.
That is also on Amazon Prime, last I looked, in a really terrible, you're probably better watching episodes on YouTube, which are illegally uploaded than whatever the one is on Prime.
I mean, his son doesn't even have a tattoo of an anchor. Could be anyone's son. Terrible.
Yeah. Then we've got Out of Tune. I think we mentioned before, this is the first episode of it, so it definitely does have James Corden in it playing Lee.
Yeah, I don't remember watching that.
It's a comedy about a choir. Then News Round. Then Blue Peter. We're in the Richard Bacon era.
Uh-huh.
Prior to his cocaine.
Was it definitely prime? It could be amidst.
Oh, it could be amidst. Before they knew he was taking cocaine.
Damn good host.
Then Neighbours. No description, unfortunately, so we don't know what Toadfish is up to. Then in the evening... There was something called How Do They Do That? But before that, you could have switched back to BBC Two for Star Trek The Next Generation and Trevon Simon's Transmission Impossible, which I watched an episode on YouTube and I...
What, today?
Today. I do not know how this was allowed to be on air. It was so shambolic. It was clearly like something recorded after they'd finished recording or going live or whatever it was at the time. Because you could hear like not the studio audience, but like the cameramen and the sound men and other presenters laughing in the background. It's just so incredibly shambolic and half-assed.
I have accidentally left the camera on. I'll leave it rolling.
It kind of felt like that, yes.
Yeah, I don't remember watching, because those two people don't look familiar.
Do you not like Trevor? Trevor and Simon I used to love on Going Live or Live and Kicking or whichever one it was. Or both of them, maybe. But yeah, so I was like, oh, I never saw this, so this will be interesting. And then watched it, and was like, oh no, my memories. Even though I didn't have any memories of this particular program. So yeah, how do they do that with Eamon Holmes and Esther McVeigh, return for a further 4 programs presenting more stories of extraordinary feats and incredible achievements. So these feel like segments which would now be on the One Show.
Yeah.
This is in the same slot the One Show's now in. Tonight, the man who took to the air to teach geese to fly, and how special effects experts can create a winter wonderland in 2 hours.
Ooh.
Plus, how scientists unlocked the secrets of life on Mars. In fact, it sounds very much like the One Show. then you have Tomorrow's World, and National Lottery Live, and then 25 Years, The Two Ronnies.
So I did like Two Ronnies, like later on in life when I'd maybe be at my grandparents and it was on. I used to find them quite amusing, but I definitely wouldn't watch it at this age.
Yeah, see, I might. I think the best way to watch the Two Ronnies is probably these compilations from the 90s.
Ah, big highlight reel.
Yeah, because I watched some of the stuff on Netflix. There's a whole bunch of it on Netflix.
Oh, okay.
And it's a bit like Russian roulette of sketches, and you're like, oh, that one's not funny. You're like, oh, that one's kind of racist.
Yeah.
And well, that's obviously been filtered out in the picking when you get these selection boxes.
Mm.
And then Anne Robinson with Points of View, so you could write in and complain that you hadn't seen your favourite sketch on the Two Ronnies.
Point of View, I wouldn't have watched it then, but I've watched my fair share of Point of View.
Yeah,
it's really funny.
I used to watch it when it was on Sundays with Barry Took or Terry Wogan. I don't think I watched it during the Anne Robinson regime.
Mm.
Is it still on?
I don't think so. I can't imagine it. Because, I mean, people just vent online now. People don't need to have a relatively famous face reading out their complaints about something really silly.
Oh, no, it is still on. Not at the moment, but the last episode looks like it was on the 11th of March this year.
Whoa. Well, I used to find it really funny just seeing what people would genuinely complain about.
Oh, hang on. No, that's not right. No, in fact, no, sorry. I had to take that back. It's the other way around. I've been too busy looking at American dates.
Oh.
It aired today.
Wow. Don't type in POV BBC and go to Google Images. You can just, okay, I was like, I wonder who's posting this now.
I've done the maths on that. Right.
And I was a bit surprised.
You're the UK number one is Spice Girls with their double A side, Mama, and Who Do You Think You Are?
That's a damn good double side, mind.
I think you were of the similar opinion when it cropped up on Man v Feud.
Oh, have I? Oh, right. Yes. I maybe said the exact same thing. No, I think that's a good.
But had you been in Japan and allowed to stay up past your bedtime, you could have watched episode 1 of Haunted Junction, 3 Members, 7 Spirits. Directed by Yuji Muto, the director of such things as Green Green and Don't Leave Me Alone, Daisy. A screenplay by Kazuhisa Sakaguchi, also known for writing Going Wild. Again, no idea. I mean, I've heard of Green Green, Don't Leave Me Alone, Daisy. I've not seen them, but I've heard of them. I have not heard of Going Wild. Story by Katsumi Terahigashi, nothing notable on their credits. Episode director Shunji Yoshida, nothing notable on their credits. Or rather, probably the most notable thing is this. Animation director Ryoko Hata, again, nothing notable. The most notable person on this show is the character designer Asako Nakajima, who was the character designer on many 90s shows, most notably Ranma One-Half. To the point where I feel like you see people who say, I've animated this in 90s anime style, and it's clearly just in one particular that anime person, style. Yeah. Whereas I think if you tried to do something in Atsuko Nakajima's style, then you'd be much closer to making something which was 90s style. And our I just think there's nothing noticeable about them. Our hero is played by, our hero Haruto Hojo is played by Katsuaki Arima, which I have no credits for, so I don't know if I was unfair to them or whether this is literally the most notable thing they've done. They were in, there's nothing
that we've ever done.
Yeah, nothing we've ever done. Little Busters, maybe. That ran for 2 seasons. They're in that, I think, as something or other. Then the most notable person in this, but not for anime, the heroine Kazumi Kazuo Ryodo. Oh, sorry, not the heroine. That's the other male character. They're not notable. Shinosuke Furumoto is most notable for Carrot Glass in Sorcerer Hunters. So that's not the heroine. That's the Buddhist monk.
The possession kid.
Who keeps on getting possessed by things. Then the most notable person in it is Yuki Nakama, rather, playing Matsuki Asahina. The character would be the reason why we wouldn't have been able to watch it when we were 11. And she escaped anime quite quickly after this. In fact, kind of, I don't know why she was in anime doing this, because she'd already done Love and Pop for Hideaki Anno, his live action debut. But she's most notable for live action stuff. She's had a pop music career to 2001, hence her doing the opening theme and ending theme for this show. But we have seen her in another anime. She was in Giovanni's Island.
Was she the lead girl in that?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Probably not, because it didn't have a name of a character against it on her Japanese Wikipedia page.
Ah, right.
Okay. But yeah, she was in Ring Zero. She was Kumiko Yamaguchi in the live action Gokusen drama as well. So she's done plenty outside of anime. And maybe after this, she realized she had to do that. Get the stink off her of this role. So, Anthony, tell us. I'm pleased you've got to tell us about what happens in this, not me.
Because there's a lot that happens. That
an entire series worth of events happens
exactly,
in the first episode.
Exactly. And in all fairness, I'm going to praise it for it being squeezed into one episode.
Yes.
If there's credit where credit's due, it's that. So this episode, it's called Three Members, Seven Spirits, and we are introduced with a voiceover of somebody talking about these seven badges of power, and they're extremely powerful, and they've gone missing. You see a shot of these seven badges laid out, and there's like a whoosh that goes past each one of them as they're getting taken, presumably by seven different people or different things. We're then introduced to the three kids who Brian has already named. I can't remember their names already, so if we do need to dive back, I'll check the notes.
Just say the Christian, the Shinto, and the Buddhist. Walked into a bar.
Exactly that. Exactly, and the barman says, you've got to get these badges, or else you're not getting a drink, essentially. One of the kids, is that the Buddhist one?
Yes.
He is possessed by a cat spirit. And he gets exorcised by the Shinto one. Yeah, Shinto one. And he's back. You know, he's back in the room, essentially. So, yeah, the chairman of this, they call it the Holy Club. What's the full
title? It's the Holy Student Council, because our lead character, who's the son of a Christian minister, thinks that he's just joined the Student Council. And then the chairman revealed that there was the word holy in front of it.
Yes. Because he's up to no good, this chairman. And he's essentially bartering with these three kids with promises that he obviously can't keep. So for example, when the girl's about to exorcise, the other dude, he's like, oh, well, if you do this one more exorcism, I'll get you a trip to Australia or something like that. Which she does, and obviously nothing becomes of that. The main character, Christian, he wants to resign. And he's got his resignation notice or letter, whatever you want to call it. And he just wants to live a normal life and just, you know, get married, go through school, etc. The girl wants to go traveling, presumably, and just be rich. She wants like a house in Monica or Santa Monica. I can't even remember what she says. And the Buddhist, what does he want? Because I didn't get the joke. He wants a map to...
Oh, I think it's just like he wants a map of where this particular restaurant chain is in Japan.
Oh, so to... Ah, so for some reason...
I believe so. I think that's the joke, is right. That his request is so ridiculously basic. I could be entirely wrong.
I don't know why I was leaning towards it being something perverted.
Yeah, well, he feels like, I mean, yeah.
I don't know why.
Because the perverted character is the girl.
Yes. In this show. So anyway, they all agree, because the chairman's like, get these 7 badges of power and I'll make all this come true and so on. He convinces the kids and then they go and get the badges. So they all agree to find them. And just as they're walking down the corridor, basically saying, how the hell are we going to find these badges? The Christian boy stops in front of a tap to drink some water, which I thought this was spooky initially because the taps were upside down. And I guess that is just a water fountain. But yeah. I thought, oh, is the hallway flipped upside down at first? And it's not. He sees a girl in the mirror and he's like, oh, this is the start of it. She's got one of the badges. And basically the other two want to use like violence and kind of exorcism to, you know, get this badge back. He said, no violence. And all the girl wants is for someone to play with her, you know, with toys and so on. And the main character does so, and he's exhausted by the end of it. And they say, what's the matter with him? Did she suck his life force out of him or something? He's like, no, it's just very tiring playing with children for a long period of time. And they get the badge nice and easy. And then they realize that basically the 7 badges are all located around this school, the 7 wonders of the school, which presumably is something that, you know, these like old myths and legends where go into this room and there's a guy who killed himself and there's a ghost there, that kind of thing. So I thought, oh, right, okay, that's the end of this kind of segment. And the next segment is going to be another badge. But no. As Brian's mentioned, we go badge to badge to badge, which I was surprised. So off they head to the science lab, and they're kind of looking around, and they're saying, oh, is it going to be this? Oh, it's like a squirrel. And it's like, is that going to come to life and walk around the lab at night, blah, blah, blah. And they're trying to pinpoint where it is. And they see this anatomy model, which is like a, you know, like a point at someone's liver and whatever, heart, whatever else the body contains. And the Buddhist gets possessed by a dog. I don't know whether he does that through choice or he just has this bad habit of getting possessed by things.
I think he has a bad habit. I think he just can't help any spirit taking his body out.
Right. But he turns into this, gets possessed by a dog. He starts barking and he barks towards this anatomy model and it comes to life and it's running around and the Buddhist gets one of the model's bones from its model self, I guess. And that bone has a badge on it, so there's another badge collected. Then they go to the gym to see the dancing giant, which is basically this huge set of legs that is crashing down and trying to stomp on them and so on. And they produce this huge giant drawing pin, which I quite liked, and they chuck that down on the floor, and as he's stamping around, he stands on one of these this big giant drawn pin, letting go of the badge. So there's another badge done. Then they remember this story about this is where it gets starts getting a bit creepy, or sort of starts leading into this creepy tone. So they hear about this, or they remember hearing about this character called Red Mantle, which is all the girls, no matter how old you are, you're gonna fall for this spirit, essentially. He's gonna make you swoon and so on. And they send in the girl and she's like, oh, you're far too old. If you were like 10 years younger, then we'd be talking, sort of thing. And so she isn't fazed by him and she gets the badge. Next up is the girl's toilet, they're led to believe it's the girl's toilet and it's meant to be like the second cubicle from the end or something. And if they chant this person's name, this person's arm will come through. But they go to the toilet, summon the spirit, and there's like 3 separate spirits shows up. There's this like really creepy looking arm, an eye of a giant girl and an elephant. And they're like, nah, yeah, none of these have the badge, so we're going to go elsewhere. Because they remember a certain cubicle in the boys' toilets, which has a sign that says 18 plus on it. And they do the name calling again. And there's this hugely flirtatious spirit, I want to say, that's beckoning in the boys. And they get pulled in. And I don't know what goes on in this room, but they manage to get the badge. Which is where we're five down, I think. Yeah, five down at this point. And then they remember about a walking statue, which suddenly, I think it's light outside now. It's definitely daytime, because I think it's been nighttime throughout this point.
It
now
is,
it's,
yeah,
it's light outside. Anyway, they go outside and they remember some walking statue, but there's multiple of these statues. There's a skipping statue, a running statue, and they're like, it's none of these. And I think the chairman kind of, does he airlift this statue down or something? He just produces this statue because he shows up at this point.
Yes, he's just bought another. I think he's the one who's buying all these statues, which is why they got loads of these walking statues. So he says he's just bought another one.
Okay. And then they focus on this statue, and it's standing still. And it's looking all anxious, and it's got sweat running down it and so on. And it reveals a young boy who the girl falls for, because she likes younger boys.
Yes.
And this kid is like,
he thinks he's 11, but he doesn't know.
Yeah.
Because he's a statue. Yeah. Here's the thing, Anthony. Not ignoring that the fact we've got our comedy pedophile character.
Uh-huh.
The thing you're supposed to get from this is that all these ghosts are common school urban legends.
Right.
And so the statue is a statue which many, many schools have.
Oh,
that particular
right.
school is. The Red Mantle, I know, is because there's a Urasura episode where uh-huh. they're talking about the seven legends of the school, and the Red Mantle's the one they're investigating.
Ah.
The ghost of the toilets is Toilet Hanako, and the reason this show exists, I suspect, was because there was a big boom in Toilet Hanako-related stories in the mid-90s.
Okay.
Which is probably why they got the joke of they go into the girls' toilets, and there's three different Toilet Hanakos.
Because there's so many other iterations of it, I see.
Yeah. And, yeah, I think the school skeleton and the school anatomy model, I think that's definitely referenced in Urasura, the anatomy model thing is.
Right.
The only one I don't get is the giant.
No.
I don't, but I think maybe there was a story, because obviously in Mob Psycho 100, he faces off against a giant spirit in the gym there as well, doesn't he?
So there's definitely something.
Yeah.
That it's drawn from, but we don't know.
No, and the Bandai translation does not really help you out with the cultural references.
No, I guess not. It could be known as something else, or.
No, I mean, just it translates it without any. It just gives you the name of the statue as if you know what that. It's Ninomiya Sontoku, which Wikipedia will now tell me was a prominent 19th century Japanese agricultural leader.
Ah. But yeah, and at this point, they're at number six. They've got the six, and they're like, oh, but there's no. Where's the seventh? Where's the seventh? And the seventh badge is in none other than the hand of the chairman, who has now got his spirit legs, or I should say maybe his legs are now that of a spirit
yes.
Wisp, I guess.
Well, yes. That's after he's got them to put all the badges in the door, because it turns out the door would not grant their wishes, it will grant his wishes, which mm-hmm. is to open this door to the spirit world.
The spirit world, and he was a ghost all along.
And then out.
And I just don't know what else anybody would want to watch this for.
The hero says, oh my god, because he's a Christian.
Yes, he literally does, yeah.
Do you get?
that's it. And I mean, on the intro, I've got to mention the intro, you see them, well, what I thought was going to be them, like, fighting things, and it's, maybe it does go down that route later on, but I don't think so. But as I say, praise for crushing all this into one episode.
So you don't have to watch any of the others.
So you don't have to watch any more. Not that I would have felt, ooh, I wonder where they get the next badge from. Because if they'd spread each story out over like a half an episode, it would have been way too long. But this isn't very good. It's really not very good.
No, it won't be the worst thing we watch though, but, it's, no, you're right, it's not very good. It's them throwing, these people throwing stuff against the wall in 97 to try and find stuff to fill this new time slots in the middle of the night.
Gosh.
And, yeah, the best thing it's got it going for, as I said, is the character designs. I think technically, I think it's a good idea, but I don't, but the execute, I mean, the idea of we'll do a show about school urban legends.
Yeah, that could be fine on its own.
And even the idea of, oh, our main characters are, they represent different religions, but in a comedy manner, but it's like, the actual comedy is not very good.
There could be three anybodies.
I think the best bit is, it's possibly the stuff with the two medical, display characters, and also the giant legs, because the giant legs are always funny. It's, particularly because you never see the rest of him. So it's just like Monty Python level absurd. It probably is a Monty Python reference in the first place.
That's true. That's true.
But yeah, once it gets to the second half with the creepy mantle guy, the multiple Hanukos, and our heroine being another creep. As if that...
The thing is though, if this was for like, actually no, it wasn't for young audiences.
No, it was not, no.
I was gonna say if it was for like 11-year-olds, maybe like, oh, the men, female would like me.
No, no, you know, it's definitely not that.
Like a naive point of view, but it's a weird one. Obviously, I would have never have watched it because of the timing, but if it had been on, I think I probably would have watched it.
But which one of these two shows would you tell your younger self to watch?
I honestly don't know. As bad as this one is, I'm trying to think, like, look at it as a kid. Like, I wouldn't, like, those, like, really perverse pedo tones would have just been way over my head. And I would have looked at it on the, oh, look, funny giant feet stand on a drawn pin. And maybe a bit of magic later on. Are they going to fight demons? It depends where it was to go. Whereas I think, Old Family, I think it seems a bit depressing, you know. I think the idea of the uncle, like, going to kill the dog, or is that character lying?
I think it's the truth.
Mm.
But I don't know. I'm not sure we're going to see the uncle ever again.
No.
I'd easily tell myself to watch O Family. If I had to pick those two, yes, that's for sure.
Yeah, I guess based on the first episode, I think I had more fun with O Family. I felt a bit more invested. Yeah. Yeah, that's got three better characters than this does. And it's got the father of the family. He was better than the chairman.
Yes. I mean, it's worth it just for seeing two adults getting super excited about a puppet show on TV. Even though I couldn't tell it was a puppet show until I read about it on the Wikipedia. But I just thought it was a cartoon they were watching, which is still funny. It's just the way...
It is.
It's the way they pulled the chairs up to the TV and then the reply answer the character. Or the mum answers and then makes the dad answer as well, as if he's going to upset the character on the TV if he doesn't hear a reply.
But I can imagine families doing that when TV was first coming in, you know, like they'd have that family time in front of the TV and all getting amongst it.
But that's the joke was that they weren't all getting amongst it. They'd shut the kids out. It was just the parents.
That's true.
Watching something aimed at much younger than any of the children they've got.
Yeah, I guess all family takes it. And I don't even think it takes it by a long shot, personally. But as I say, that the perverseness of that other one is bad.
Rightio. Well, we have got a convention to go to next weekend. So we'll probably miss an episode. And then we should be back with another The Anime That Didn't Make Us. Hopefully with a guest this time. May involve press ganging people we see at the convention.
I wonder if we can pick... three good episodes.
I can always pick a good episode. I don't want to rush all the good ones at the start, you know.
See, I just try to go in blind sometimes.
Yeah, you've got more to choose from than I have. That's the.
I do because of my little. Well,
because there was more anime. Plus.
Yeah. Oh, yes, that's a good point.
Plus, we burnt a load of 1984 shows for another podcast, so I can't pick Touch and things like that.
Yeah.
I guess I could pick episode 2 of Mechadoc now that's on High Dive. But there's still.
And of course, we predicted with Virtua Fighter. I wonder if Haunted Junction might get the same treatment.
To be honest, I would not be surprised. I feel absolutely. You could probably pick it up super cheap at this point from whoever's got the license.
Oh, God, yeah. Or I'm surprised it got a DVD release.
I think everything did. It was like a quick turnaround from that 1999 Anime Village stuff. Because I knew about... But I may have even seen the first episode before. At a con.
Of
Haunted Junction.
Haunted Junction.
I may have even seen the second episode for that matter. There's a good chance. If I saw the first, I probably saw the second.
Have you secretly got the DVD box?
No, I do not. No, the only Anime Village stuff I got was Cowboy Bebop and the Gundam movies. On VHS. Uh-huh. And then I did not buy the Gundam movies again, whereas I bought Cowboy Bebop over and over again.
Yep. That's the way.
Can't stop buying Cowboy Bebop. Having said that, I do not have a 4K TV, so if they do an Ultra HD version of it, then I won't be rushing for it yet.
Yet.
No. But that giant Robo Blu-ray's calling me.
How much is that?
60 quid, I think, or something thereabouts.
Not bad, really.
No, I think that's UP, United Publications. I think you can pre-order it there. But I might wait to see whether it shows up on UK Amazon and then just pay the, prepay the import fees. Because you can now do that on Amazon sellers. Which is good because you don't get stung by that 12 quid handling fee or whatever it is.
Yeah, true.
I guess we could pick whatever's... Well, I guess I could figure... No, it'll be a surprise. It'll be a surprise. I won't pick anything yet. It's probably going to be a good... Probably going to have to pick a Gundam soon, though.
Oh, do you have to? I'm joking.
I'm going to have to do a robot show again soon, because there's so many robot shows in my time period. Rightio, I'll speak to you soon, and you listener as well. Bye-bye.